to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, welcome to Finish Well Radio. Today we are going to talk about being a light in the business world. And I'm so blessed to have with me Juliana Curtis. Juliana, thank you so much for being here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me, Meredith.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am your daughter, obviously.
I know, and you just called me Meredith. What is that about?
Sorry, Mom. I am the second of five children, all who were homeschooled from the very beginning all the way through high school. My dad has been a pastor my whole life, so I grew up in a very godly family, but it wasn't until I was 13 that I truly became a Christian and started serving the Lord for myself. And I'm 27. I work in computer information systems in that field, and I really have a heart to see the glory of God extended everywhere, in workplaces, in the American church. My heart is to see people walk in their calling, and so I've always been very involved in ministry. You know, when I was younger, it was kind of a requirement with being a pastor's kid, but then it really became my passion. I'm on the worship team. I'm a deaconess at my church. I've been a youth leader in the past, and just trying to serve anywhere that God has me.
So the truth, if you're listening, is Juliana is all around awesome, and she is such a blessing to us. But Juliana, let's go back in time. When did you graduate, and what was your major?
I graduated from Stetson University in 2011, and I have a bachelor's degree in accounting information systems. So I remember back in high school, well, before that, my older sister has known since she was about 4 years old that she wanted to be a writer. So she knew what her major was going to be growing up. She knew what she was going to go to college for. And back in high school, I remember freaking out when I was a sophomore because I didn't know what I wanted to do and I didn't know what my major was going to be or anything. So I started taking all of these online personality quizzes and career tests. And I realized that with my personality, with my strengths, and just with my interests, that I should go into business. So I went to college, starting out as a finance major, and I remember thinking, I might change my major, but the one major I will never do is accounting, because they're all dorks and nerds. And it was a very wrong stereotype. I came to find out that I didn't really enjoy finance. Stocks and everything to do with that was not my thing. But what I did love was numbers and logic and organizing. And that's basically what accounting is. I also really enjoyed computer classes. So I ended up having a major in accounting and a minor in computer classes. And it ended up working out that I graduated with something I never thought I would. But God has really used it, and I now have always worked more in the field of what my minor is in computer systems.
And she is not a dork, and she is not a nerd, just so that you know. And just before you go on, Julian, I just want to, if you're listening and you're interested in taking some of those free online surveys and you're interested in maybe doing it from more of a Christian perspective and what does God say about choosing a career and stuff, we have actually at Powerline Productions, we put together a little mini course, and you know, you could probably do it in a week of finding out, exploring careers and discovering, you know, what personality, aptitude, call, what is your life purpose, all that kind of stuff. And it's called Career Choices and the College Decision. And you can buy it at powerlineprod.com. Or you can purchase it on Amazon. Just search for it, Career Choices and the College Decision by Meredith Curtis. As soon as she was saying that, I just thought of that. So, you know, you may be interested in that too. But let's move on. Juliana, tell us about your career.
Well, like I said, I've always worked in the information systems field. I've had two jobs since graduating. I was at my first job for about 3.5 years, and I now work for Verizon. I've been there for it's getting on to 2 years now. I love working with computer systems, which my family does find nerdy, but my current job, and like I said, is at Verizon. They have a finance corporate headquarters close to where we live, and so it's really nice working close to home now. My old job was like 45 minutes away, and this one is a lot closer, and it gives me a lot more time to be with my family and to have more time for ministry. And so it allows me to work really hard at my job and still have time for what I also want to do outside of work, which is a really big thing to me, you know, to have that work-life balance. So other parts of my career, it's always been really important to me. I like what I do. I like the day-to-day things that I perform at my job, and, you know, I liked my old job. But what I always told the Lord back in college when I was looking for my first job, and then when I was thinking about moving, just I want to like what I do day to day, but it's more important to me the people that I work with. And with that, it has always been really important to me that I am working where the Lord wants me to be. You know, where does He want me to be influencing people, and where does He want me to be impacting the world through my job? And, you know, evangelism is not my strong suit. So if you're listening to this and you're just like, oh my goodness, you know, she's just talented and in that, that's not me at all, you know, but God has given me a heart to see His kingdom extend in the workplace. And so, you know, I'm really hoping that He grows me even more in that. But my heart has always been to honor God in my work. And so when you live out biblical principles of working as though for the Lord and not for man, when you are hardworking, when you have integrity, when you do what you say and you say what you do, it really gets you noticed. You know, it's not about me or my strengths or anything. It's just when you follow godly principles, the world sits up and notices. And so God has really given me favor. He's really blessed me with amazing bosses always, and He's really given me favor at every job I've been at. And I think a big part of that is not me, and it's not my personality, you know, because I tend to be short-tempered. I get very easily irritated and stressed, but God has worked through those weaknesses and really grown me and pruned me a lot in those areas. But He's worked through those weaknesses to show Himself. And, you know, He's given me so many opportunities to show coworkers and show other people, you know, how to honor God even when it's tough, and just decisions that I've had to make and how I make decisions and what those decisions are, and how I work and how I help others and how I look for the good of others first instead of myself, has made a lot of people, I think, you know, think twice about things. And so you know, it's all God, it's not me, but that's just a little bit about my career so far.
I love that. Wow, that is so awesome. And I love your heart, Juliana, and I'm so proud of you. I'm glad you're my daughter. And I want you to share a little more. You already talked about this a little more, but any other ways that you shine your light at work?
So I think two of the biggest things, and I think this has to do with just how our culture currently is. As Christians, we should be looking for opportunities to share Christ. You know, if He's truly the most important part of our life, then it should just come up in natural conversation. So I try to, you know, talk normally to people, because it can sometimes, you can almost feel like you're in a different world when you're at work, if you're not surrounded by Christians. And I've never been surrounded by Christians at work. So it can feel different, you know, that you might use different language because non-Christians don't understand Christian lingo all the time. And so sometimes you have to use different words to explain things anyway. But one thing that the Lord has really taught me is just to be very open, you know, to be open when about how God is working in my church, when God heals people in my church, to tell people about it. My church just got a new building, so I've been able to tell people about how it was one miracle after another for us to get in there. And, you know, I've told people about working in there and just all those different things, and just trying to be really transparent of, you know, I don't have a separate Christian life and then a work life. My Christian life is at work, and there's not the secular and the sacred parts of my life. It's all spiritual. It's all about Jesus. And so I think that's been one of the ways that the Lord has been able to shine his light through me, is as he's grown me in just being real with people, whether it's in just normal conversations or what have you. But I think two of the other biggest things, and this isn't necessarily, you know, preaching Christ to people, but just living out a godly lifestyle. And one of them would be, like I said earlier, is integrity. Doing what you say, saying what you do, and not saying you worked 9 hours when you only worked 8.5, you know, if you're overtime eligible. Just little things like that, that everyone fudges things. Everyone might steal pens from work, but it's really important that people see that you're not like that. And I remember having a conversation a couple months ago with some coworkers, and we were just talking about some stuff, and they were like, oh, well, if that happens, just call in sick. And I thought about it for a second, and then I told them, you know, I have never called in sick unless I was actually sick. You know, I was throwing up, or I had a fever, and, you know, didn't want to get other people sick. And they just kind of stared at me for a little bit, because that was so foreign to them. Like, you've really never, and never ever have I taken a sick day unless I was actually sick. So I think it's just little things like that that show your integrity, that can make people see, you know, I don't just call myself a Christian, but it truly is Jesus in my life is who I am. So integrity, and then hard work, you know, not slacking off when other people are slacking off, going above and beyond. As a worker, our heart should be for our bosses to look good and to be successful. Our heart should be for our coworkers to be successful. And so that might mean being okay with other people taking credit for things that you've done. I'm not saying I've always done that perfectly, but it can be just, if there's not a lot of work to do, going to your boss and asking for more work. And not a lot of people do that. Some people do, but not a lot do. And so that gets you noticed too. And so there's different Christian principles, just different things that the Lord sets out in his word, that when you follow them, his light shines through you.
Wow, I love that. And that is true. If we just live in obedience to the Lord, it does get us noticed in the culture we live in, because we're really entering into a phase of a post-Christian society. Juliana, you had an experience with a friend at work where God really used you. And I'd like you to share about that friendship and how you met her and what happened, and just the fruit that came from it.
Well, that is a really interesting story. I love talking about it because it's an amazing example of God's faithfulness. So my first job out of college, like I mentioned, I was there for about 3.5 years. My very first day, the very first person that I met at that job was this girl who turned out to be starting her job there the very same day I was, and she was my cube mate. So we ended up sitting next to each other for like 3 years. And we became friends, and I got to know her. We weren't super close friends, but we were good friends for work. And she called herself a Christian, but was living a lifestyle that didn't reflect that. And so we had known each other for over 1.5 years, and I remember going through a time at work when I was just really discouraged and I didn't feel like I was seeing fruit in God using me at work or anything. And I had asked the Lord for a co-laborer in Christ before, but I had never been really faithful and persistent in my prayers. And so God started challenging me to take him at his word, to pray and be faithful to pray. So I remember just every day walking into work and praying, God, please give me a co-laborer in Christ here. I assumed it would be someone that I had never met before because the Christians that I did know, I wasn't close to. They didn't seem like they wanted strong relationships. I didn't see anything forming with the people that I already knew. So I just assumed God was going to bring in a new coworker or let me meet someone new. Not 2 weeks had gone by where I was faithfully praying for that, where all of a sudden my friend told me about a decision that she made to get sin out of her life. She broke up with someone and it had been a sinful relationship. And I was so excited. You know, I had been praying for this and I never knew like how to fully address it with her, but I was really excited that she broke up with him. And I asked her why she had. And she told me that she wanted to grow in the Lord and she knew she couldn't if she stayed in that relationship. And I remember like I just started tearing up and, you know, we're talking and I was just so excited. And at that point, I still didn't even know all that God was going to do. But she had been going to a church but wasn't very plugged in and I had invited her to my church before, so she ended up coming, finally visiting, and she felt like she had found a home at our church at Powerline. And so she started coming regularly, and it literally was like within a week, she just started devouring the word. And she, you know, we would have these long conversations about the Bible and what God was teaching us, and we would talk about different passages that we were memorizing, and we would, you know, exchange verses. Oh, I'm memorizing this. Here, you can memorize that. And we would have conversations about, oh, you know, how can we share Christ with our coworkers? And we would exchange stories about how we got to share the gospel. And it turned into this beautiful friendship that was centered around Christ. And God answered my prayer of giving me a co-laborer in Christ there. I look back and I'm still just so astounded that he answered that prayer and it was right around 2 weeks. Like that, you know, I had been praying off and on for a long time, but when I really started taking God at his word and asking him for that, he blew my mind. So she, my friend, is not living in the United States anymore. She's back home in the Bahamas. But she's still a really good friend, and she's actually getting married soon, and I'm going to be her maid of honor, so I'm really excited. But God just, I was not perfect in my relationship with her. I'm sure that there were things I could have done and words I could have said to encourage her more or to be more of Christ to her. But I prayed for her faithfully for over a year and a half, and I always tried to find ways of encouraging her in Christ, and God blessed that small, meager work and effort that I put in. He blessed that like beyond anything that I could have ever imagined. And so it truly was a gift of God. And so I just want to encourage you, if you currently have a career right now, or if you're in a public school, at college, or you're about to go into the workforce and you feel alone and, you know, you have a burden that God has put on you to see the lost come to him, but you don't see anyone else that maybe has your standards or that has the same heart that you have, ask him to give you a co-laborer. Because that's his heart. And his word says that he can do super abundantly beyond anything that we can ask or think. And so, you know, he wants to see his kingdom extended even more than you do. He wants to see you closer to him even more than you do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one thing to wish for someone close to you that can, you know, work with you for Christ where you're at. But stop just wishing and start praying, because God can answer those prayers in ways that you never even thought were possible.
I love that story, and I love your friend. She's my friend too, and it's just been really exciting to see God move in her life through you. And right now, we're going to hear from our sponsor, Powerline Productions. When we get back, we'll learn more about how Juliana shines her light at work.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus as you homeschool your children. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, as well as homeschool classes like economics, finances, and business. Meredith Curtis designed this class for high school seniors and adults. It takes an intense look at macroeconomics from a biblical free market perspective and challenges students to apply biblical principles to all aspects of economics and business. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions. Being world changers, raising world changers. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Welcome back. Juliana has been sharing with us how she ended up in the business world and how she shines her light at work. And she shared with us how God used her in a young woman's life at work and really used her to see this woman's life just completely turned around and turned over to Jesus Christ. So we talked about, you know, okay, what we see when we look at your life and what others see, but underneath all that, Juliana, you have to be close to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Things like that flow out of a life that's connected to Him. So how do you stay close to Jesus?
Oh, gosh. This could be an entire talk in and of itself. So I will try to keep it short. I would say for me, the first thing that I do is trying to remember that as a Christian, the focus is knowing Jesus. The focus is being close to Jesus. I'm a very type A personality. I like lists, and I'm very task-oriented, and that sometimes spills over into my relationships with people and my relationship with God. And so one thing that I have to really fight against constantly, and God has grown me in this a lot, but He still has more to do, is to just not make relationships about tasks. It's not a checkoff list. You know, sometimes I can almost feel like, okay, you know, if I do this and I check off this, then that person will feel loved. And that's not how life works. And that's not how our relationship with God works. And so, God has to constantly remind me of that in my relationship with Him. And so it is so important to be faithful, to spend time with God. You can't court or date someone and expect to become close to them unless you spend time with them. You can't expect to ever be in love with your spouse unless you spend time with them. You can't expect to know your children well unless you spend time with them. And so you can't expect to be close to God and to know Him unless you spend time with Him. But the way that we spend time with God is through reading His word, is through being in His presence, through worship, through prayer. For me, like I said, it can be easy to read the word and just get like a list of facts and data, but that's not what the Bible is there for. Yes, it has tons of information, but God gave us His word to transform our life, not to just give us information. So that would be my first thing, is to spend time with Jesus, you know, to be really faithful about my quiet times. I try to be really faithful about that time with the Lord, and to focus in that time on knowing Him and being in love with Him. One of my favorite verses is from John 17. And that's where Jesus is about to go to the cross, and he's praying for his disciples and then for the church. And in John 17:3, he says, "And this is eternal life, that they might know you," and he's talking to God the Father, "so that they might know God the Father and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." And what I love about that verse is that the word "know" there isn't a knowledge of facts, data, information. It's a relational. The Greek word is relational. It's experiential. Mm-hmm. And so that's what eternal life is. Eternal life is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I personally feel like everything in my life should be encouraging and spurring me on to having a deeper relationship with Christ. And so if God wants me to get rid of something, if God wants me to focus on something different, rearrange priorities, then that's okay. And that's what I want to do, because my life is knowing Jesus. So quiet times are really important. Being involved in my church has always been very important to me. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm involved in a lot of different ministries, and, you know, my heart is to see the body of Christ be the bride that Jesus wanted and wants her to be. Mm-hmm. And every job I've ever had, I have always had to be very upfront about not working certain nights of the week and not working during church. And every time that I have interviewed for a job, I've been very upfront about that. And I want to have integrity. So I just let them know straight up, I don't work Wednesday nights. I have Bible study. And I don't work, my church used to meet on Saturday nights, so I don't work Saturday nights. Now we meet Sunday mornings, so I don't work then. And this is during an interview. So I do it very respectfully, but I just let them know I will work above and beyond any other day of the week. But this is my time for the Lord, and that is my priority above work and anything to do with my career. And I have yet to meet anyone who doesn't respect that. And I think a lot of people think that if they take a stand for letting their employers know that church is a bigger priority than work, that somehow they'll look down on them, that somehow, you know, they'll get angry at them. And I have heard of some people who are like that, but honestly, very few. And in my, I personally have never experienced that. My bosses have always seen that I will work hard so that I can have those other times off. And I am very firm about it. And they have always respected those types of boundaries that I set. So with being close to Jesus, quiet times, church, one thing that I really encourage people with is to always be thinking about 2 Timothy 2. And Paul says in that chapter to flee the evil desires of youth and to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And it's so, so important to surround yourself with people who love God and will chase after him with you. I have tons of friends, and I have tons of acquaintances and coworkers, but my very closest friends, most of them are in my family. My really close friends outside of my family are people that are truly pursuing after Christ. They're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But they're people that I can, if I read a really encouraging verse, I can send it to them. And they get really encouraged. And if they read something, they can text me about it and let me know. And so there, surround yourself with those types of people. And if you don't have any of those relationships in your life, then start asking God for them. Look for them. And when you see people that you notice are really pursuing after Jesus, try to become better friends with them. And so I want to plug that in, because a lot of times we don't think about that. You know, we think about reading the word and listening to sermons and stuff like that. But it also really is important who you share your heart with and who you share, you know, the bulk of your time with. Who do you know that knows your passions and desires? And are those people ones that are going to be spurring you on to love Jesus more, or are they going to be deterring you? I mean, sometimes you can't help it if it's a family member that's not saved, but try to surround yourself with people that will call on the Lord out of a pure heart with you. Another thing that I do is I love reading blogs and I love listening to sermons. There's certain pastors that I just, they're like my go-to. You know, if I'm just feeling weary or discouraged, my dad is an amazing preacher. I love listening to his sermons, and there's some other people on YouTube and other places that I like listening to. But when I'm feeling weary or discouraged, I love listening to a Francis Chan sermon because he's just so passionate for the Lord that you can't just help. But after you listen to one of his sermons, you just have to cry out to the Lord, and they're just always encouraging. But I have tried to make it a point, if you have a job that's at a desk or on a computer, if you are in that job right now, you probably already know this to be true, but if you are going to be in a job like that at some point, you will find this to be true also one day, that you will at some point have downtime. Almost any job anywhere, you will have downtime at some point. Or you might have tasks that are just kind of monotonous. They don't take a lot of brain power to do. And I know people that use that time in different ways, but I've decided that if I have downtime at work, you know, if it's a lot of downtime, then that means I need to ask my boss for more work. But if it's just, you know, 10 minutes here, 15 minutes here, I want to use that time to be reading scripture or to read blogs from people that I know are theologically sound and that love Jesus, and that when I'm done reading that blog, I'm going to want to know Jesus more. Yeah. And so there, like I said, sometimes you'll have tasks at work that are kind of monotonous, or maybe just at home, you know, when you're cleaning your, I've listened to sermons while I'm cleaning my bathroom, or listening to worship music while I'm cleaning my bathroom or cleaning my room or, you know, doing monotonous things. You can be filling your mind and your heart with things of Jesus and with God. And so I would really encourage you to look for those times, whether it's washing dishes or at work, or if you have a commute to work or to school, use those times to be productive instead of, you know, wasting them. It's just so rewarding to listen to people and to read from people who are in love with Jesus and that will spur you to go deeper and deeper in him. So those are just some of the things I do.
That is awesome. I agree with every single one. Right now, you are heading to Colorado. If you're listening to this podcast, you may have heard of Eric and Leslie Ludi. They wrote When God Writes Your Love Story. They actually have a college out in Colorado called Ellerslie, and Juliana is going to go out for a semester. So tell us about this decision and how you managed to take 3 months off from work.
Well, it kind of is a long story, which I'll try to shorten. Like my mom said, this discipleship school was started by Eric and Leslie Ludi in 2010, I believe. But they've been writing books for a number of years. And so I remember the first book that I read from Leslie Ludi was Authentic Beauty when I was in high school. So over 10 years ago. And I continued reading their books as they came out, you know, in high school and college. And it was about 4 years ago that I found out through Googling people, because you know, that's what I do, that they had this school out in Colorado. And so I was really excited to hear about it. And that was the first time that I started praying about going out there for a semester. But every time that I prayed about it, the Lord just kind of closed the door and he said no. And, you know, I would ask him, you know, God, if this is from you, then give my parents a peace about it, give me a peace about it. And he just never did. And actually, back to the story of my friend who got saved at my job, one of the first times that I was praying about going to this school, And God just seemed like he was shutting the door. So I was praying about it. And I distinctly remember even where I was at in the building. But I was walking down this hallway to my desk. And all of a sudden, the Lord just filled me with so much peace. I'd never experienced that before. But it was just like he had distinctly spoken to me, "You are right where you're supposed to be." And I was like, "Oh, okay." Like, it was like, I'm at my job where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing the ministry I'm supposed to be. And so I was like, okay, so Ellerslie is closed. That's fine. And it was so encouraging to feel that. And then it was about a couple weeks later that Claudia really started seeking after the Lord. And, you know, I was able to mentor her and grow together in Christ with her. And so looking back, I realized God had a really specific purpose. And, you know, he gave me that peace and he told me that I was supposed to be here for that season, and he had a reason for it. So that was, you know, it's really cool to just see how faithful God is through your life. So fast forward to last October, I went to a conference. It was a week-long conference at Ellerslie. And by that time, I had already prayed about going for a semester a couple of times. And every time God said no. So by that time, I was like, okay, I get the message, God. I'm not supposed to go. I'll just go for this conference and be encouraged, and that's it. So it was an amazing time. God taught me so much there, and he had just how he orchestrates things to set you up in the correct time and place, and just what he teaches you in what order just always blows my mind. So it was a really great time, and everyone there kept asking me, like, "Oh, are you thinking about coming for a semester?" And I kept on saying, "No, you know, I've already prayed about this. God keeps saying no, so there's no reason to pray about it again," basically. I came home from that week, and the Lord started tugging on my heart and just like, "Well, I want you to start praying about it again." And I was like, "No, God, like, that can't be from you. That's probably just me. And, you know, I've only been at my job for a little less than a year now. You know, I can't take 3 months off of work." So I had a million reasons to not pray about it, but I kept on feeling like I was supposed to start seeking God about it. And I had a couple different people come to me and say, "You know, I really think you're supposed to pray about going." So I finally did, and just put it before the Lord and said, "God, you know, if you really want me to go, I don't know if that means that I would be able to take time off of work. I don't know if that means I would have to quit my job, but I know that if you call me to do something, then you'll provide for it. So if you want me to quit my job, then you would provide for that too, but I'm open to whatever you have. So just please show me what your will is." So I started praying about it and just getting a lot more excited and just really wanting to go. But then an opportunity to apply for a promotion opened up at work. So I applied for the promotion, and I remember interviewing for it on a Friday. And it turned out, I learned during the interviews that the promotion, the bulk of the work, the whole purpose of the promotion would really be all of this work for the fall. So this coming up fall that we're about to be in. And so I went home that weekend and I was like, "Okay, God, if you want me to go to Ellerslie this fall, then I can't in integrity apply for this promotion at the same time. So I basically need to make a decision, God, this weekend about whether you want me to go or not." I am 27. I'm an adult, but I still live at home. And I do believe that God has given me my parents as my spiritual headship. And I trust that God will work through them. So I asked God specifically, like, "I have been feeling a complete peace about going, but when I talk to my parents, please give them a peace about going." So I talked to both of my parents that weekend, and my mom still isn't thrilled about me going, but she did have a peace about it. And my dad had a peace about it. And it was the first time that, like, all three of us felt like this was from God. And so I went to my boss after that weekend and withdrew from applying for the promotion. And he was kind of surprised. So I ended up having to tell him, I want to go to the school. It's for 3 months. I asked him if I would be able to take a leave of absence for it. So I told him that I wanted to be above reproach and not apply for something that I couldn't do wholeheartedly. And so I couldn't keep applying for this promotion because I wanted to go to Ellerslie in the fall. And I was really blessed. He's a Christian and he understood. And he was really thankful that I didn't continue applying for the promotion when I knew I wouldn't be able to perform the duties of it. And so he said that he would talk to his boss and they would have to talk to our director about me taking a leave of absence. And so he did. And I am just so incredibly blessed. God has given me so much favor with my boss and my boss's boss and even my director. They ended up saying that I could take a leave of absence and they would basically just redistribute the work that I do for 3 months. And then I can come back in December and take all of my old work back, plus more probably. But just, I honestly am just shocked. God would not have given me that favor. God would not have opened the door unless this truly was his will for me to be able to go. And so I'm going to be able to take 3 months off. I'm going to be gone for 3 months and come back and be able to keep working. And I'm really excited for this opportunity of just a season of total abandonment to seeking Jesus. And it's almost like taking a sabbatical from, you know, life. And I'm really excited. And just how God provides just so blows my mind. Like I've said so many times, but even I'm not going to be employed or get a paycheck for 3 months, which at first was a little scary to think about. But so I started saving in the beginning of the year, and then something happened at my job where we ended up, because another part of the company went on strike, my part of the company ended up having to almost double our workload. So for a couple of weeks, we were working 72 hours a week. Then it finally went down to 60 hours, then 50, then finally back to a normal 40-hour week. But I make overtime. And so I was working crazy hours and I was so tired and still trying to do stuff with my church during those 2 months of all of that. But God used that craziness to provide every single penny that I needed for tuition, for being gone for 3 months. And I've even been able to tell other coworkers, because all of us did not like those 2 months of crazy hours, but I've been able to tell them, I didn't like working those hours either, but God used them. He provided for me for being gone for 3 months because of that overtime and everything. And people would be like, oh, wow, huh, that is cool, you know? And so it's so encouraging to see how God provides, even in the smallest ways, ways that we might not like at the time, but he has been really faithful with this. I've never been away from my family for this long. I went to school close to home. I've worked close to home. And so this will definitely be an adventure and a new season. And I'm going to miss everyone so much. And I'm going to have to do lots of FaceTime with my nephew. But it's so encouraging to just see God's hand through everything and to be able to rest in the fact that he's the one leading and he's the one guiding. And I'm really excited to see what he's going to do with it.
I will miss you so much, but I am so excited that you're going. And let's wrap up with this, Juliana. What would you say to young men and young women who say, how can I shine my light in the business world? Give us some tips.
Oh gosh, no pressure. I would just say that the business world is going to constantly pressure you to rearrange your priorities. They inadvertently even will try to get you to have your priorities be money, career, advancement. I've even noticed different mindset shifts. And all of a sudden, God will be like, whoa, 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 you know, your focus is getting off here. Your focus should not be this promotion. There's nothing wrong with applying for promotions. There's nothing wrong with doing well in the workplace. There's nothing wrong with making money. But when our focus is that, it definitely distracts you from Jesus. And the love of money is the root of all evil. So, you know, it's a bit of a serious thing. So I would recommend to constantly weigh yourself and weigh your priorities against Scripture. And constantly ask God to show you any way that worldliness, even if you work for a Christian company, ask God to show you any way that worldliness or worldly mindsets could be creeping in. And constantly be in His Word. Constantly meditate on, memorize, abide in His Scripture, abide in Jesus, and allow Him to be transforming your mind continually. And I think that that's one of the biggest things, because when our priorities get mixed up, the love of man can so hinder us, it can consume us when you're in the business world. And I know that there are times where it's kept me from witnessing the way that I think God has wanted me to. It's kept me from saying things and being bold about things that I think God has wanted me to. And so I've had to repent on my face time and time again and ask God to grow me and to prune me and to discipline me in love, of course. But I don't want anything to take my focus or to take my eyes off of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so I think it's really important, though, to realize what the tricks of the devil are and how he will try to influence you so that you can take a stand against him. Our battle is not against coworkers, bad bosses, lack of money. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. But our battle is against the powers and principalities of darkness in this world. And so you need to realize that your battle is not against a bad schedule at work. Your battle is not against stupid people that you don't want to deal with. That's not your battle. Your battle is not traffic. It's not anything that could frustrate you or distract you. Our battle is against the plans of the enemy. And the plan of the enemy is always to make us powerless and ineffective. And so the more that you get into Scripture, the more that God will be able to transform your mind, that He will be able to renew you. And even if you have grown up in a Christian family and been homeschooled your whole life, I promise you, there are things of the world that can get in. And so never think that you don't need to be renewed. Our mind has to be constantly renewed in God and in His Word. And so that would just be my advice to you, to stand firm for Christ. Never apologize to people for loving Christ or for having standards or for walking in integrity. And always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. But always do it with gentleness and respect. And always ask God to give you His heart. Because God has a specific reason. If you're at a school right now, or if you're at a job right now, He has a specific reason for you to be there. And so ask God to show you what that reason is. Ask God to show you why you're there. Because there are people that can only be affected by you being there. And ask God to raise up Christians where you're at. Because Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. So it's part of our job to ask God to send out more workers, because there is a harvest. And sometimes we can look at our workplace and be like, God, I don't see a harvest. But our job is not, it's not to see the harvest, but it's to believe that there's a harvest. And our job is to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers. So I would just encourage you with that. Keep being bold before the Lord. Ask God for big things and be faithful in prayer and faithful to meet with believers. Be faithful to be in His Word. And God can do amazing things through you. Don't ever limit Him.
Juliana, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate your heart. I appreciate your witness. And to all of you who are listening,
God bless you. Thank you for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.